I always need a deep breath after seeing that video. And I'm sure as we saw in the video that you don't need me to then come up and stand up here and tell you about how time is such a precious commodity. We're already well aware that there just aren't enough hours in the day. And so we try desperately to cram as much as we can into a shorter period of time as possible. And we end up finding that we live such tightly scheduled lives that if anything throws us off schedule, then that could upset the whole day. If there's more traffic on Woodruff Road than we anticipate, or if there is a wreck, or if at the grocery store there's only one checkout line open and the person in front of us has 30 coupons and it's taking forever, those few extra minutes suddenly start to creep into our already too tightly scheduled day, and so our anxiety, it starts to increase, and we get more and more stressed, and our blood pressure rises. And then we get to the weekends, which is supposed to be a time of rest, and we end up spending it at the soccer field or the baseball field or going to the grocery store and running that long list of errands that you haven't gotten done, and you have to clean the kitchen or the bathroom or do all of the laundry, and then there's those social gatherings that you're invited to, and suddenly the weekend is just as full as the week was. And even if you had a good time over the weekend and enjoyed time with friends, it still may not have been very restful. And so we find ourselves in the midst of our really busy schedules living for the next vacation or for that rare Saturday when there is nothing on the calendar. And those brief moments of pause, those rare Saturdays and those vacations may fill us up enough to help us get through to the next week or to that next rare Saturday or the next vacation. But ultimately, it doesn't sustain us. And it leaves us feeling burnt out, trapped by our busyness, slaves to our schedule and our calendar. The Israelites know what it's like not to have enough time. The Israelites know what it's like to never have rest, to work tireless hours, to constantly be on the go. For the Israelites spent hundreds of years as slaves in Egypt. They were brick makers, and so they made bricks through straw, and it was long and hard work, and they worked every day, long hours, and they were oppressed by their taskmasters, and there was nothing pretty about it. And then eventually they upset Pharaoh, and so Pharaoh told them that in the beginning they were given the straw to make the bricks, but then Pharaoh got angry, and so he said, you have to go find the straw and then make the bricks and still make the same number in the same amount of time, which obviously was going to be totally impossible. And so they were people who were pushed beyond their limits, people who had no rest in sight, who worked tirelessly and were exhausted. But we know that God is a faithful God, and God hears their cry. And so God sends Moses, and Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says no. And so they send a plague, and this goes back and forth multiple times until finally Pharaoh tells the Israelites that they can go. And so there's the parting of the Red Sea, a story I'm sure we're familiar with. And they cross over to the other side, and they're finally free from Egypt, and they find themselves in the wilderness. But they aren't in the wilderness very long before they discover that they don't really know how to be and live in this new life. And in their time in Egypt, they were slaves and it was awful, but there was also structure and order. And in the wilderness, there's now kind of this uncertainty. And so they look to Moses and Moses looks to God, which brings us to Sinai in our scripture for today. Our scripture is from Deuteronomy, and it comes from when Moses goes to Mount Sinai, and God gives Moses instructions for how they are to live and to order themselves, and God gives this to Moses through the Ten Commandments. And so today we're going to read just one of the commandments from Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So this is one of the Ten Commandments. This is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And to run through the first three really quickly, the first three all have to do with our relationship with God. One, you should have no other gods but me. 2, don't make any other idols. And 3, don't use the Lord's name in vain. And then we get to this 4th commandment. And this 4th commandment is particularly interesting. First, that it is the first commandment God gives after the 3 that are directly about God, having no other gods and not worshiping anyone else. And then God says, Sabbath. Before thou shalt not kill, before honor your father and mother, before do not steal, God tells us about Sabbath. The second thing that is interesting is that the commandment about Sabbath is the longest of the 10 commandments. God says more about this one than any other, and I wonder if that's because God knew how difficult this one was going to be for us. And the ways that we might try to wiggle around it or interpret some gray area, because thou shalt not kill is pretty black and white. We can understand what that means. But when it comes to Sabbath, we find ourselves saying things like, what does that really mean? Like, how much rest is required? You know, and we try to get around it and we don't necessarily take it as seriously. And I think God knew that, which is why it's the longest of the 10 commandments. And the final interesting thing is that unlike the rest of the commandments appear twice in Scripture. They appear in Exodus and they appear in Deuteronomy. And I just read you the one from Deuteronomy. And for the most part, 9 of the commandments are pretty much the same in Exodus and Deuteronomy. But the commandment about Sabbath is different. In both, God tells us to keep the Sabbath, but God gives different reasons as to why the Sabbath is important. So if you put those two together, then the Sabbath commandment becomes incredibly long. So in Exodus, God tells us that we need to take Sabbath, that we need to rest because God rested in creating the world, that in 6 days, God created all that is, and then on the 7th day, God rested. And that in itself should be a compelling enough reason for us to take Sabbath. If God, who is the creator of all things, if God, who is over all, can take a day off and needs a day off, then surely we can take a day and need a day too. But in case that reason isn't compelling enough for us, in Deuteronomy, we get a second reason as to why Sabbath is important. God says to keep Sabbath as a reminder that you are free. Once you were a slave in Egypt, once you worked all day, every day, long hours, and you were tired and you were oppressed and you were burnt out. But the days of making bricks are over. And that was never what I intended for you in the first place. Because you see, the commandments, the 10 commandments are a sign of the new covenant that God is making with the people. All 10 of them are a sign of this new covenant of the ways that we are supposed to live in relationship with one another. And the Sabbath is an important part of this new way of being, of this new covenant. And while it may seem like these commandments are laws, when we hear those words, we think that they might be restrictive. But in actuality, God is telling us that this is meant to be liberating for us. God is giving us permission to have a rest, to enjoy the freedom that we have been given. Pastor Rob Bell says that the commandments give us a new way to be human. That Sabbath, as a part of those 10 commandments, gives us a new way to be human, a new way to live. And while this is certainly a new way of life for the Israelites who have spent the last hundreds of years in slavery, it's not really a totally new way, because this is how God always created us to be. This is how God always intended us to be. When God created, it took 6 days and then there was a day of rest. We were always meant and created to be people who had rest, who weren't constantly on the go. We weren't created to be 24/7 people who cram each and every day and fill our calendars to the max. And while it's true that we can function at this capacity, at least for a little bit, without ever stopping, without ever taking Sabbath, we find that we probably aren't really living if that is how we go through our days. Now, I'm sure that you're probably thinking, Laura Allen, this is all really nice in theory. I hear what you're saying. I would love to take rest. I believe that it's important. But if I had the time, I would already be doing it. I already have a full calendar. I don't have time to schedule rest because I don't have time to do everything on the list already. And I'm standing here thinking, Laura Allen, why are you the one preaching on this? Because if you know me, you know that taking Sabbath and time off is not necessarily my strong suit. My Sabbath, which I'm going to use loosely, is Fridays. And what did I do on Friday? Well, I cleaned the bathroom, and I did laundry, and I worked on my sermon on Sabbath. And then the follow-up question might be, Laura Allen, when was the last time that you were preaching on Sunday that you didn't write your sermon on Friday? And the answer would be, I do not know. So clearly, this is not a strong suit in my own life, and so this sermon is just absolutely a challenge for me as well as it may be for some of you. But as I've been thinking on this, I polled some of my friends. I thought about my own reasons that I don't take time off. I asked some of my friends why they aren't good about Sabbath and what hinders them. And so I have come up with the top five reasons why we don't keep Sabbath. And I'm sure you've come up with more, but these are the top five. And so the first is that we can't say no. We are people pleasers. We can't say no when we're invited to that party. We don't want to say no because we're afraid that we'll think that we don't value their friendship. Or we don't want to tell our kids no because we don't want to disappoint them. Or we don't want to tell our boss no because we're afraid that he might not think we work hard enough or that we're not worthy of that promotion. And this desire to please people just causes us to continue to say yes to things, even though in reality we might be thinking how exhausted we are and what we desperately need is time with our family or time of rest, and yet we keep on saying yes. And so the first thing that keeps us from keeping Sabbath is the inability to say no. The second reason I think we're not good at keeping Sabbath is because we feel guilty. In our culture where everyone is on the go constantly, where everything is 24/7, if we stop when everybody else is going, I find myself feeling guilty. Even if I know that I have a meeting at the church and I'm going to be here until 8 or 9 o'clock at night, if I'm not here by 10 a.m., I start to feel guilty because I know that other staff are here and working, and I feel like as part of the team, I need to be here too. Or you may think that you know that somebody else, you know, came in on Saturday because the team needed work done, and so even though you had plans with your family, you feel like you have to come in. You feel guilty because somebody else sacrificed their Saturday. You feel guilty in a culture where it's all about productivity and what we've accomplished, and the idea of having days where we don't necessarily accomplish anything causes us to carry some guilt. And so because of that, we don't take time for ourselves and we don't keep Sabbath. The third reason I think we don't keep Sabbath is because of poor time management. And some of you at this might be thinking, no, really, there just aren't enough hours in the day. You should see my to-do list. And there may be times where that is true. I know that there are weeks where the to-do list just really is that long and there might not be many spare moments. But I also wonder how many of those moments we spend doing other things. I know that I spend far more time than I care to admit or even know doing silly things like playing around on my iPhone or playing solitaire on my computer or spending time on Facebook. And the thing about those things are it's deceiving because you never get on Facebook for more than about 10 minutes. You only play one or two games of solitaire. But when you do that multiple times throughout the course of the day and you begin to add those kind of things up, I don't even want to know the number of total hours in a week I spend on my phone or on Facebook or doing little things that aren't really productive towards my day at all. And the cumulative amount of that time is probably way more than I realize. Time that I could have easily spent doing other things. We also, at least I, can be guilty of procrastination. And so sometimes I do things that aren't really of super high priority that may need to get done eventually, but not right now. But I don't really want to do what has to get done. And so I do other things instead, which means that when Friday rolls around, I still don't have a sermon because I've procrastinated. And the other thing that I think comes with our time management is the way we prioritize our time. In the young adult small group that I lead, there's a guy in our group who has decided he's no longer going to use "I'm too busy" as an excuse. Because what he's realized is that we're all busy, we all have stuff going on, and that when he says he's too busy to do something, what he really means is that this just wasn't enough of a priority for me to get it done. And sometimes that's okay. Maybe we should just own that whatever it is I have going on is more important than whatever the other thing is, and that's okay. But we use busyness as an excuse or a way to mask the fact that we're actually making priorities. And your priorities may not reflect the thing you care about most. Perhaps what you prioritize is your work, even though you'd rather be with your family, but you want that promotion, so you keep making work the priority. Just because it's a priority doesn't mean it's necessarily what you want to do, but we do make those choices. And so busyness is really just about how we prioritize our lives. So can't say no. We feel guilty. time management. The fourth is boredom. As people who are constantly on the go, the idea of stopping for a whole day may seem terrifying. But as people who are constantly doing things, what am I supposed to do all day if I take a Sabbath, if I have a day of rest? I actually had someone tell me that part of why they aren't good about Sabbath is because they're just not sure what they would do instead. They're afraid that they would be bored. And so instead, they just keep on going and keep on working. And the fifth and final reason why I think we don't keep Sabbath is because of our pride. There's this kind of weird thing about us, but I think there's a part of us that likes being overworked, that once you realize you're going to work 50 or 60 hours this week, why not just work a little bit harder so we can get this like hypothetical gold star? Have you ever had a busyness contest with somebody else where it's like, oh, you've done this week? You had 3 night meetings, I had 4, you know? And we somehow feel like we earn a gold star because, like, I worked 70 hours this week and this guy only worked 65. Like, man, you know? And we somehow applaud ourselves for that, but it's crazy. And this certainly comes down to some kind of issues of pride or being in control, that we feel like the amount of work that we've put in, even if we hate it, somehow earns us something, when in reality we just find that we're more and more tired and burnt out. And I think at the root of all of these 5 reasons comes part of what Michael talked about last week. It comes from our own fear. Our fear that we're not going to be good enough, that we're going to let people down if we tell them no, that we're not going to get that promotion if we don't come in on Saturdays, or that our kids are going to be disappointed if we don't let them play on all 7 sports teams and they might not get into the right college. And we're afraid. And sometimes I wonder if even more than that, that we're afraid that if we stop, if we really stop, and that life continues going, that our job continues working, that when we take a break, everything else doesn't stop too, that we'll realize that we aren't as important as we think we are. That the fact that we can stop and life keeps going means that we might not be as important as we want to be, and that terrifies us. And the ironic part about it is that part of what Sabbath is all about is a reminder that God is the one in control in the first place. Part of the design of Sabbath is to stop and rest, to have a day that is holy and set aside and think about the ways that God is working and find comfort that we can take a day off and the world doesn't stop. That God is the one who creates all things and is in control, not us. And the second thing that is ironic about our inability to take Sabbath is that without Sabbath, without taking rest, we eventually won't be good enough. That if we keep working, if we keep pushing ourselves to our limits and past our limits, that eventually we aren't going to be good enough because we're going to end up disappointing things and not being able to do things the way we want because we're so tired and burnt out. There's a story in Exodus of Moses after, this is pre-Ten Commandments, but after they're already in the wilderness, that when there's still kind of this lack of structure and order, the people look to Moses as their leader to solve all of their problems, to be the mediator between disputes. And so every morning, Moses gets up early and the people make a line. And the people line up in front of him, and all day long they tell him their problems. They come to Moses for advice. He mediates conflict between other people and families. And he does this from early in the morning until very late at night. And after he gets into this practice for a while, one day his father-in-law comes up to him and he says, "What you are doing is not good. Moses, what are you doing? This is not good. For you are going to burn out, and so are the people." Moses, what you're doing isn't good because you're going to burn yourself out. You do this all day long. You don't take any rest. And when you burn out, then you're also going to harm the people. Because once you burn out, you're not going to have anything to give them. When we don't take Sabbath, it not only hurts us, but it can hurt other people around us. Because if we don't take Sabbath, if we don't take rest, we become angry or less patient, or we just become so tired that we can't be fully present. We have nothing else to give to others. So what do we do? How do we create that breathing room? How do we find time to take Sabbath that we so desperately need? I think the first is that we need to make Sabbath a priority. We need to make Sabbath a priority, that as we go through our day, as we look at our week, as we manage our time, Sabbath shouldn't be something at the bottom of the list. And this is something big for me because I regularly think, oh, no big deal if I don't have time to do this. I'll just do it on Friday, which means that Friday after Friday after Friday, I end up either doing work for my job or I have to run all those errands and do the laundry and clean my apartment that hasn't happened in so long because I've just been too tired to get it done. And so if we're going to really be serious about taking Sabbath, we have to make it a priority and structure our to-do list in such a way so that when Sabbath comes, we can really have a time of rest. The second thing that we can do to help us take Sabbath is to prepare for Sabbath. Matthew Sleeth is an ER doctor, and he is the author of a book called 24/6. And he talks about how after working in the ER for years and years and years, after working 24-hour shifts in the chaos of the ER and being exhausted, he realized that he was running out of things to give, that he was burnt out, that he wasn't as good of a doctor. And so he made a choice that he was going to start taking a Sabbath, that he was going to start having a day of absolutely no work. And the crazy part about this is he made this decision before he was a Christian. It was actually after he started taking Sabbath that one day he picked up a Bible, read it, had this conversion experience, then became a Christian. And then the Sabbath became even more for him because suddenly it became a holy day and not just a day of rest. And so he writes this book about the importance of Sabbath, about being 24/6 people. And one of the ways they take Sabbath is that he and his wife prepare every week for Sabbath. And so they take Sabbath on Sunday. And so every Saturday afternoon or evening, he said they kind of have this ritual, like liturgical cleaning of the house where they straighten things up and wipe down counters and do what needs to be done. Because if you're going to have rest, but you wake up and the house is dirty, sometimes that just stresses me out. Like, I'm not going to really have rest. And so they prepare, they clean the house the night before, and they go to the grocery store the night before so that when they wake up, they don't open the fridge and realize there's nothing to eat. And suddenly a day of Sabbath involves going to the store first. And if we're going to be serious about taking Sabbath, then we need to do at least little things to help prepare ourselves to have that day of rest. Another thing we can do is to have people holding us accountable. If you're married, if you have family, then perhaps pick a day where you all take Sabbath together. That is a day of rest for all of you. Tell your friends, your Bible study, your small group, your coworkers that you are going to take this day off. And have them help to hold you accountable to that. When you think about putting something off and say, oh, I'll get that done on Saturday, if your friends, if your family know that that's your Sabbath, they're going to say, no, that's your day of rest. You have to do it now. Another suggestion to make your Sabbath a time of rest is to not check emails or respond to emails. Maybe don't even turn on your computer, or even crazier, maybe don't even turn on your phone, especially if your whole family is taking Sabbath at the same time. They're already there with you. Maybe even just turn it off for a few hours, because I'm guilty of that too, that I usually don't respond to emails on Friday, but my phone still notifies me, so I still read them. And so I'm still thinking about work, even if I don't respond and follow through with it. And so it's not as fully a day of rest as I would want it to be. As you think about these things to help you take Sabbath, then think about ways to fill your day. Because Sabbath isn't just about rest. It's not just about rules. It's about doing things that are life-giving. It's about taking rest, but doing so in a way that also fills you. So think about the things in your life that are life-giving, ways that you could spend your Sabbath. Maybe you love spending time in your garden, and that Sabbath could be a time that in the mornings you're out in your yard or in the garden, not because it's work, but because it gives you life. Maybe it's a time to go hiking, or on beautiful days like today, to take a walk around the neighborhood with your kids or your dog, or to go for a bike ride. Maybe if you love to read but don't have time to do it, Sabbath is a great chance to keep catching up on some of your favorite books. Perhaps you should even set aside a book that you only read on Sabbath. It's something to look forward to as part of what the Sabbath is about, is that you get to find out what's going to happen next in the story. Or maybe for you families, you have toys for your children that they can only play with on Sabbath. Or if you play family games like Monopoly or Scrabble, maybe you decide that you're only going to play the game on Sabbath. And then it becomes something that you look forward to, a way that you can gather as a family and laugh and spend time together, and something that makes this day special and set apart. A day of rest, but a day that also fills you and gives you life. Matthew Sleeth says in his book that Sabbath is meant to be a refuge, not a prison. People don't save the Sabbath. It saves us. Friends, taking Sabbath isn't just about taking a day off. It's about living into the life that we have, about living into the ways that we are created and the freedom that we have. as people of faith, as disciples of Christ. So I hope that as you leave this place and as you think about your week, that you have conversations with your family and your friends and think about what it would take for you to begin to make Sabbath a priority. What things do you need to do? What changes do you need to make? And how can you begin, maybe slowly but surely, to make that a priority? I know for my friends who are good about taking Sabbath that they talk about how life-giving it is, how life-changing it is, and the ways that God works and speaks to them through that time when they pause and rest and revel in the beauty of all that God has created and the ways that God has created each of us. So please, this week, I challenge you, myself included, to think about what we can do, how we can live into who we were created to be, and see the ways that God may work through that, through our rest. Amen.